Well, hey there, what's up? Seems like I haven't seen you in ages.
Wait a minute, this sounds interesting.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again. Riding the reins once more. Toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee tie, I oh, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee tie, I yeah, I go my way. Back in the saddle again.
Hello, and welcome to the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 459. I'm your host, Steve Webb, and yes, as of May 2nd, 2016, this is a brand new episode. Thanks so much for hanging in there while I took my very much needed vacation. I've been gone from you since the end of February, and I took the month of April off for my tech duties at church, too. But I'm back now, and that's all I'll say about that now, so that we can get into today's reading. Oh, by the way, how do you like the new theme music? I opened the show today with the esteemed Gene Autry's Back in the Saddle Again, which I thought was appropriate, but what you're hearing now is the new theme music for the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. I love it, and I hope you do, too. After the reading today, I'll talk for a few minutes about what I did while I was gone. I certainly didn't just play the whole time, but I did take a little time for that too. Our reading today begins a new section of the Old Testament. While I was on vacation, you completed the history books of the Old Testament with the completion of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Previously, we read the books of poetry and wisdom, which are Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon, which are the books that follow Esther in the Old Testament. And so now we come to the major prophets, which are the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. That's just 5 books, but they are fairly long, so we'll be in the major prophets for a while. Also, while I was gone, you completed the Gospels in the New Testament with a reading of Luke and John. Tomorrow we'll begin the book of Acts, which is generally regarded as the one history book in the New Testament. So today's reading is Isaiah 1 and 2, and we'll read from the New American Standard Bible. The book of Isaiah was written by the prophet of that name. Although Isaiah was not the first prophet, the book of Isaiah is first in order in the Old Testament, probably because it is the longest and has the broadest scope of content of the prophetic books. This is a book that is applicable to all generations. It first addresses the conviction of sin, then talks about the responsibilities of the believer, and concludes with encouragement in time of trouble. So, shall we begin? Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which he saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from Him. Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. Your land is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your fields, strangers are devouring them in your presence. It is desolation as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a watchman's hut in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom. we would be like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city has become a harlot, she who was full of justice. Righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your drink diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chases after rewards. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them. Therefore the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, declares, Ah, I will be relieved of my adversaries and avenge myself on my foes. I will also turn my hand against you and will smelt away your dross as with lye and will remove all your alloy. Then I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. After that, you will be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. Zion will be redeemed with justice, and her repentant ones with righteousness. But transgressors and sinners will be crushed together, and those who forsake the Lord will come to an end. Surely you will be ashamed of the oaks which you have desired, and you will be embarrassed at the gardens which you have chosen. For you will be like an oak whose leaf fades away, or as a garden that has no water. The strong man will become tinder, his work also a spark. Thus they shall both burn together, and there will be none to quench them. Isaiah chapter 2. The word which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and will be raised above the hills. And all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord, for you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Their land has also been filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land has also been filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land has also been filled with idols. They worship the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. So the common man has been humbled, and the man of importance has been abased. But do not forgive them. Enter the rock and hide in the dust, from the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. And it will be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, against all the hills that are lifted up, against every high tower, against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish, and against all the beautiful craft. The pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of men will be abased, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols will completely vanish. Men will go into caves of the rocks and into holes of the ground before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of His majesty, when He arises to make the earth tremble. In that day men will cast away to the moles and the bats their idols of silver and their idols of gold which they made for themselves to worship, in order to go into the caverns of the rocks and the clefts of the cliffs before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of His majesty, when He arises to make the earth tremble. Stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? May God richly bless the reading of His Word. In verse 1 of chapter 1, we see that Isaiah, which means the salvation of the Lord, and how appropriate is that when we consider how much of this book prophesies the coming Messiah? Well, he was the son of Amoz. It is thought that this Amoz was the brother or son of Amaziah, the king of Judah. And we learn from this first verse that this book is the account of Isaiah's vision. God gave Isaiah a vision, which was as real as if he saw and heard with his physical eyes and heard with his physical ears. And verse 1 also tells us that Isaiah was given these visions during the reigns of four different Judean kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, a period of 47 years. You'll recall Uzziah started off well but became the victim of pride, that Jotham and Hezekiah were good kings and Ahaz was evil. Then the prophet begins telling God's message to Judah and Jerusalem, how they have turned their backs on God, and how God has had enough of their rebellion. And then God invites them, as He often does, invites them to repent. He promises to forgive them if they will but turn from their wicked ways. But He also tells them that if they do not, they will be devoured by the sword. In chapter 2, the prophet gives us a glimpse of what will be in the last days. We learn that God will reign over all the earth, and that there will be peace. He will judge the nations, and the Lord alone will be exalted. That day is coming sometime in the future. We don't know when that day will be, but it is the most sure and real truth that you and I will ever know. Are you ready? When that day comes, will you be one that is judged, or one who has been forgiven and whose name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? Since we do not know the day or the hour of His coming, now is the time to prepare yourself. Now is the time to make ready. Because once the day arrives, it will be too late. You must decide now. What is that decision? Well, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." The decision you must make is this: do you believe that what Jesus said is true? Will you trust Him to forgive your sins? And will you allow Him to be your Lord and your Savior? There really is but one way that leads to righteousness and forgiveness, and Jesus is that way. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow or even our next breath. We've seen many prominent people pass into eternity in 2016, most recently Prince, who died at only 57 years of age. And there was Merle Haggard, Patty Duke, Gary Shandling, Nancy Reagan, Maurice White, George Martin, David Bowie, and so many others. Some of these people were older, but others, not so much. We just never know when our last day will come. When I was on vacation, more than 30 people were killed and 340 injured in Brussels. None of those people knew that their lives would end or be forever changed when they woke up that day. If you can hear my voice, and if you have not made the decision to follow Jesus, I beg you to do it today. Do it now. Pray these words: "Dear Jesus, I want to know that if today is my last day, I will be ready to meet You. Please forgive me for my sins. I know that I've not lived a perfect life. Please forgive me. Make me Yours. I'm asking you to be my Lord and my Savior. Help me to be the person you created me to be. Lead me, guide me, save me. I ask you to do this now. Amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, believing that Jesus is who he said he is, then your eternity just changed, and you have nothing to fear in the future. You still will have struggles, but now you have someone who will help you through. And when the final day comes, you can be confident that you will not face the judgment that awaits the unrighteous. And I look forward to meeting you in eternity. Well, as promised, here's a short rundown of what I did while I was away from you in March and April. My third grandchild and first grandson was born on March 4th. How's that for a great way to start a vacation? He's healthy and strong, and all is well with Mommy and Daddy and his two big sisters. But I didn't get to visit him right away because I was sick with a nasty, nasty cold. How's that for unfair at the beginning of a vacation? Well, I also fixed more than 1,000 links on the LifeSpring Media website, with many more repairs remaining. I repaired my late grandmother's cedar chest that is over 100 years old. I worked on marketing my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide, with more work to be done there as well. I filed my taxes. Oh boy, wasn't that fun. The lovely lady Leanne and I took the vacation we've never been able to do in the 27 years of our marriage. She received an award at work and earned a trip to Charlotte, North Carolina, where her company's headquarters is, and I tagged along for that. While she was in meetings, I went to the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I gotta tell you, it was better than I thought that it would be. The Billy Graham Library is not really a monument to Billy Graham. It's more of a monument to what God can do in the life of one man that says, "Yes, I'll follow you, Lord." The library has several rooms that you go through that kind of chronicle Billy's life and how he came to the Lord and the things that God accomplished through him. And there was one quote from Billy Graham on the wall that said, "The secret is not me. So many people think that somehow I carry revival around in a suitcase, and they just announce me and something happens. But that's not true. This is the work of God," Billy said, "and the Bible warns that God will not share his glory with another. All the publicity that we receive sometimes frightens me because I feel that therein lies a great danger. If God should take his hand off me," Billy said, "I would have no more spiritual power. The whole secret of the success of our meetings is spiritual. It's God answering prayer. I cannot take any credit for any of it." And so it was really a great time. I just really enjoyed my time at the Billy Graham Library. I also went to the Hendrick Museum. For those of you that are stock car enthusiasts, you know who Rick Hendrick is. The lovely lady Leanne works for the Hendrick organization. And I went through the museum there, and I saw so many great historical stock cars and awards and trophies, and it was just a really fun time. And then after the business part of the trip, we visited Goldsboro, North Carolina, where Leanne's father was stationed at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base when she was a little girl. Her dad's nickname, everybody called him Rip, and he got that name because he was a really great fast-pitch softball pitcher when he was in the Air Force. And we got to go stand on the pitching mound that he pitched from when he was in the Air Force there. And boy, I tell you, that was really an emotional time. Rip Collins was his name, and he was truly a man of God. I loved him with all my heart. And the whole family misses him greatly. And so that was an emotional time for Leanne and I. It was a good time, but it was very emotional as well. And we looked at the housing that is on the base and where she grew up. Actually, the housing that she lived in is gone now, but they have just a couple of the housing units still there that are like what they were when Leanne was there. They have all new housing now. It's very, very nice. And then the favorite restaurant in town for many people in Goldsboro is Wilbur's Barbecue. And we got to go there, have a meal. And I am a real lover of real down-home Southern hush puppies. And I got to tell you, those hush puppies were just to die for. Well, after we left Goldsboro, we went up to Washington, D.C. And the cherry blossoms have already peaked, but there were still many cherry blossoms around, so it was beautiful. We went to a couple of the Smithsonian museums. We went to the Air and Space Museum. We went to the American History Museum, I think they called it. We saw Dorothy's ruby slippers and so many different things in there. In the Air and Space Museum, of course, we saw the original Orville and Wilbur airplane that they flew at Kitty Hawk. And, so much. I can't even begin to tell you everything we saw. And we went to the Vietnam Veterans Wall, and that was also emotional. The man who founded the church that I attend, his son was killed in Vietnam. And so we found his name on the wall and took pictures of it. And that was a very solemn time, and a good time. And we went to the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, Washington Monument. We went to the Arlington National Cemetery and saw the Changing the Guard, which is always a very solemn time. I think that every American should make a trip to Washington, D.C. at least once. We also went to Ford's Theater, where President Lincoln was assassinated. It was my second time there. Leanne had never been. After Washington, we went to New York City, where we visited Ground Zero and saw everything that's there, and what a very well-executed memorial they have for the victims there at Ground Zero. And we went to the Statue of Liberty, Empire State Building. We went to the very tippy top that you can go, I forgot now how many floors, but it's way up there. Went to the Carnegie Deli, had real New York cheesecake. We had New York pizza. We went to Coney Island, had real Coney Island hot dogs from Nathan's Hot Dogs, and they're celebrating their 100th year. And so we had a hot dog from there. It was great. So very much more. We had a truly refreshing time, the two of us. We badly needed the time away. The lovely lady Leanne and I are the best of friends, and having 2 weeks to be away from the daily grind and make some truly special memories was a rich, 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 wonderful blessing from God. Well, this episode is already too long, and I've got so much more that I could tell you about our trip and my time off, but your time is precious, so I'm going to stop talking now. If you'd like to see some of the pictures from the trip, I'll be posting them on Facebook, which I signed off from for all of April, along with all other social media, and that in itself was a welcome relief, too. The link to my Facebook, if you don't already know, is at lifespringmedia.com, so you can just go to lifespringmedia.com and find the link to my Facebook. Now, if you believe that the Lifespring Family Audio Bible brings value to your life, why don't you head on over to support.lifespringmedia.com and consider a value-for-value donation. As far as I know, I'm here for the duration, until we complete the reading of the Old Testament, at least. It's your donations that encourage me to keep on going. Some of you have committed to a monthly gift, people like my friendly editor, whom I owe so much to, not in terms of monetary gifts, but just in the encouragement that I get every month when I open up that check. So if you haven't yet donated, please consider doing so. Support.lifespringmedia.com. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow, okay? Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.